Hey everybody, here with Clay Mills in the world famous Songtown studio, and we have got a topic for you today on songwriting skill jump starters. So we're going to talk about a few exercises that can really give you a jump start towards something great, maybe get you out of the boxes you've been or whatever. So Clay, what have you got for us? What's a quick jump starter for songwriting skill building?
I think this would be a good chance because you and I teach master classes every year where I teach melody and you teach lyric. And I don't really know some of the stuff you teach and you don't know what I teach. So maybe we could share some of these examples. The first thing I teach in the very first class is what I call inspired listening versus reactive listening. And it's so easy today to fall into this thing where, you know, you go on social media and somebody's going, well, that's not real country music or that's not real rock music. That's a pop band. And that's, you know, there's so much of this, like what I call judging, you know. And if we ever want to grow as writers and get better, we got to have open hearts and open minds.
Yeah.
We're not going to grow doing this. So I preach this thing. Oh, I'm a preacher now. Amen. I teach this thing that I call inspired listening rather than reactive. Don't listen and react with judgment. You listen, and every time you listen, no matter if you particularly care for a song, I usually can find something in there that I can use, that I can grab and put into my own toolbox. You know, for instance, many years ago, I was driving to work, and I hated corny country songs. And Tim McGraw had this song come on. It's like, I like it. I love it. And I was like, that's a cheat. You know, I started to do the judgment thing. And then I go, but wait a minute. It's very cool how his melody's bouncing off the snare drum. I like it. I love it. And I was like, so I went into work that day. I call it work. I went in to write a song that day. And I used that technique where I had a melody that specifically was dodging and playing off of the snare drum. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I mean. We can listen to music and either walk away with a negative experience or, you know, judgments and opinions just reinforce what you already know or what you already think you know.
Yeah.
Or we could walk away with something useful. You know, maybe it's like, oh, I like the way the melody does this thing at the end of the chorus against a four chord. I've never done that before. Yeah. It could be anything, you know. So I really teach that every time we hear a piece of music, listen with the ears of, can I find something I can use? And then in my class, we immediately put that into writing. So I say, this week, you're going to listen to 5 songs, find something that you can use in your own writing. And then we use that technique in a song that week. And I think if you make that a practice, man, you're writing at the end of, you do that once a week. At the end of the year, you got 52 new tools. Mm-hmm. At the end of 10 years, you got 500 new tools.
Yeah.
You know, it just grows.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, if a song's on the radio or if a song's a hit, it doesn't matter at all if I like it.
Yeah.
You know, it's still a hit. It's still on the radio. Right. And I want to know how it got there.
Yeah.
You know, I want to figure out, okay, what worked about that song that got somebody somewhere to put it on this record and it became a hit and people like it. And so, you know, if we see people a lot that are like, well, I don't like anything on country radio. And our response is, write something better than that then.
Yeah.
And they'll probably cut it if you can truly write something better. So yeah, I'm a big fan of that approach.
Well, don't get us wrong. We're not saying you have to listen and like everything you hear. That's not it at all. But what we're listening for, we keep listening and keep listening. And when we find something that inspires us, we use that, you know, and it's not about having to like the music that's out there. No, you can aspire to write much better songs than what you're hearing.
Yeah.
You know, I never want to write average. If I feel like, well, that's an average song, I don't want to write an average song. But when I hear a great song, I go, oh yeah, I want to write something as good as that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of mine that I teach is to write a response to a song on the chart.
Hmm.
So I think Miley Cyrus's Flowers song is a response to an old Bruno Mars song.
Yeah.
And so what my first publisher would have me do, he would have me look at the chart and go, okay, if someone was singing, I Can't Make You Love Me If You Don't, what would you say in response to that? And I went, well, maybe I would say, I wish I could feel this, you know, like,
oh, write it from the other person's
point of view. Yeah, write it from the other person's point of view. So write the song that would be the response to that song that's on the radio, you know? And that can be a great exercise for sparking ideas you never have thought of, you know? Because when I started doing that, I'm like, oh, I've never thought of writing a song that would be responding to that one, you know? So I kind of picture, you know, the two people are in the room, you know, or I'm in the room with the singer and they're saying this thing to me. What would I say back? And then I try to write a song that expresses that thing back.
Yeah, I like that. Another thing that I teach in my class is to take a famous lyric. So a song that's really ingrained in your head that you grew up with or you love that's out right now. And you take that lyric and you write a completely different melody to it than the melody that comes on that song. And I think it does a couple of things. The first thing it does is, you know how when we're writing and we get stuck and we're like, oh, I'm stuck on this melody. I know it's not right, but I can't find a new one, you know? So you have to put it down and come back. Well, it's really like developing a muscle. So when you rewrite a famous lyric and you come up with a new melody for it, you're having to put aside that melody that you've already associated with that lyric and write a new one. And then after I have them write that new melody, I go, okay, now take it and write another melody. And they're like, oh my gosh, I barely got through.
Mind blown.
I barely got, you know, able to write a new melody one time. Now you want me to throw that one away. But the more you do that, the more you learn to get yourself unstuck when you're, you know, when you get into those jams when you're going, no, the melody's not right, but I'm not hearing anything else. Well, just practicing this exercise teaches you to be able to switch gears and go, okay, now that's not right. How about I try this? Oh, no, that's not quite right. Mm-hmm. And it really works wonders. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've been at the end of a writing session. We have a lyric. We have the melody. Sounds good. And just for fun, I'll start playing a different groove and singing a new melody. And everybody goes, that's what we need it to be like, you know? Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if it's because we're tired of what we've been working on all day, but sometimes it's better, sometimes it's not, and we go back to the original one. But I've just developed that melody, you know, kind of like we talk about sometimes about being able to throw lyric lines away that aren't working. Well, it's just kind of the same approach, just being able to toss that melody and come up with a new one.
Yeah, we do. In my lyric masterclass, we do kind of the opposite of that, and that I have them take a hit melody and write a new lyric to it. And we do that in week 5 of our 6-week class. So we've had 4 weeks of assignments they've done. And it's really fascinating because in the first 4 weeks, the class gives each other feedback, and a lot of the feedback will be, I can't really hear how this would be sung. You know, it doesn't feel rhythmic to me and that kind of stuff. You know, I'm just not feeling how you would phrase this. When they do that exercise, they don't tell anybody what song they did it to, but all of a sudden people are going, oh yeah, that just sings in my head, you know?
Right.
And it's because, especially if you're a lyricist only, a lot of our writing can feel like poetry, or it can feel like just free form writing. And it's not rhythmic or musical in a way that's going to sing very well. And so doing that exercise forces you to write something that's going to sing well. And then what I have people do after that is take that lyric into a co-write with somebody that writes melody. Don't tell them the original melody, and they kind of do your exercise.
Right.
They get the lyric and they go, you know, where would I take this, you know? But that's a great exercise that really shows improvement in writers really quickly, because they're writing things that are so much, they're using a proven formula for how something might sing.
Yeah. And I think it also takes some of the pressure off if you're having to write the lyric and the melody at the same time. And you're going, well, I know the melody needs 9 syllables, but this line, I can't get the lyric to work right. Oh, I'll just change the melody and I'll add 3 more syllables. And before long, you've got this mishmash of, you know, nothing that really is hooky or is, you know, so I think it takes the pressure off. If you've got a hooky melody and you're writing the lyric to that hooky melody, then all of a sudden your lyric has a flow to it. You can hand that off to a melody writer and they go, oh, this great flow to this lyric. And then they can whip out a melody that's musical. And so I think it just takes the pressure off of having to write both lyric and melody at the same time, because you're writing to a format that's already classic, that's already working. You don't have to reinvent the wheel here.
And a bunch of people in the class will comment like, wow, I thought this was going to limit me, but it really just let me be free lyrically without having to worry about melodically what I'm going to do or if what my melody's working and all that kind of stuff. And so it can be a great exercise. I got one more for you.
Yeah.
Okay. So Clay and I were doing an event in Canada one time. We had people coming up with these songs that were kind of contrived, and we weren't feeling them. And so we challenged them to go write down 5 things they would like to say to somebody in their life, past, present, or future.
Oh, yeah.
And go write songs based on those things. So, for instance, one guy had there was a girl that had broken up with him because he was immature. And he wrote the sentence, I wish you'd stuck around to see the grown-up me. And the song just was like, hit us right in the gut, you know, because all of a sudden it's real. And he sang it with conviction and with feeling because he had been through that. So that's an exercise I recommend to lyricists all the time, is keep a journal, write down things that you'd like to say to somebody in real life, and then brainstorm how you could turn those ideas into songs. What were you going to say?
The other reason I like that idea is that you'll never run out of things to write about.
Yeah.
You know, people go, I just can't think of anything to write about. You'll literally never, you always have something you want to say to somebody, you know, so you'll always have something to write, you know.
Yeah. And if you are writing those things that you're passionate about and that you're feeling and that you would really like to say to somebody, especially if it's something that you are not able to say to that person in real life for some reason, whether they're gone or whatever, then it gives you this energy behind it of like, wow, I'm going to write this song I wish I could have said to my father.
I know.
And you get a lot more, like you said, a lot more real. It comes across with a lot more feeling and passion than if we just try to write fiction. You know, if you're a great writer, a lot of times you can write something fictional that you still feel because you can put yourself in someone else's shoes.
Right.
But it's so much easier to write something that really comes from your heart, you know? So a lot of my lyric writers I work with will keep a journal and they just keep on writing those sentences in there. Then they brainstorm titles and all the different ways they could use that sentiment in a universal way, you know?
Yeah, awesome.
We want to thank our sponsor, Sweetwater. Clay has like $1 million worth of gear right here that he bought from them. They're great people. Check out the show notes for links to our books on melody writing and lyric writing and to Songtown. If you don't know about Songtown, we have a worldwide community of writers that are all trying to be the best they can be. And we've got some amazing people. We would love for you to check it out. So there's a link in the show notes to Songtown. And you can reach out to us, marty@songtown.com or clay@songtown.com. We'd love to get to know you and your music. See you next time.
Cheers.